from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by Josh Vernier. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will play how many people will be at Kauffman Stadium tonight. We did not get a chance to play earlier because Cole Reagans was on the show. We'll play the best of that for you in the 5 o'clock hour. So a busy 4 o'clock hour coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll give you a chance to win a pizza. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll be joined by Josh Vernier. We'll talk a lot of Royals here coming up in a bit. But earlier today, Nate Taylor was on the station. He was on Cody and Gold. And let's go through a couple of the top storylines. The first thing is, you guys tell me that I am crazy for even having any questions about this. The Chiefs lose one of the best corners in the NFL last year. They didn't replace him this offseason. They think that the replacement is in-house. Here is what Nate Taylor said.
And I would say the only player who's capable of replicating that to some degree is Joshua Williams, just on the height, the length, his willingness to do press coverage,
yeah,
even against guys like, you know, Xavier Worthy and Marquise Brown. You're looking for Nazi Johnson to be more of a, you know, normal cornerback in terms of can play man, can play zone, maybe even slide him into the nickel in a certain situation. I wrote this in The Athletic, you know, one of the more intriguing players, because we expect his role to increase, is Chamari Connor. Now, they've put him at nickel quite a bit.
Yeah, they have.
But I did notice today that they sort of said, hey, let's just bring Trent McDuffie in here just a little bit. Let's just get him back into, like, understanding the role. So they're already starting to show you, being Steve Spagnuolo, that Trent McDuffie could be, depending on the personnel, depending on the formation, the opponent, could be nickel, could be on the outside, and that sort of has the most effect on Chamari Connor, because that means he could either be the third safety in certain situations if Justin Reed is back in time for the start, but also he needs to understand that he's going to play a lot of two-deep zone with Brian Cook.
There are only two things currently on the team that I have any amount of hesitation on. I don't have any hesitation on the wide receiver room. Rob has more hesitations about this year's team than I do. I only have two hesitations. I wouldn't even classify them as worries. I would just say hesitations is what I would call them. They are going to start someone unproven at left tackle. It does not matter which one they pick. They are going to start someone unproven. The other four positions are, I would say, very proven. From Tooney to Creed to Trey Smith, we are talking about 3 Pro Bowl caliber offensive linemen. Juwan Taylor is a good offensive lineman. We can debate how great he is, but he is certainly more than a capable. He is a good offensive lineman. They are going to start one person at maybe the most important of the offensive line positions, and that player is going to have either no experience or very little experience. So that gives me a slight hesitation. The other hesitation that I have is the cornerback room. We talked about it earlier this week. the Chiefs lose a really productive, versatile corner and now are expected to maintain that same production for a defense that was the second best in the National Football League last season. That gives me a little bit of a hesitation, but many of you don't feel that way. That's just where I am as we are starting the padded part of training camp. So that is the plan to replace Legarius Sneed. Here is Nate Taylor talking about the battle that he is watching in camp.
Kind of as of right now, yeah, we're pretty set in knowing who's got the talent to make the roster, who's got the potential to be a starter like, you know, Kingsley. He had a little bit of a rough day, but that's honestly...
The tackle group had a rough day.
I mean, well...
Felix worked over Wanya in a couple.
That's kind of expected for Kingsley just because he's never been in an NFL, a true NFL setting before today. It is a little bit concerning that Wanya Morris had a false start, that he got worked multiple times by Felix, who's had a pretty good camp as a second-year player, so congratulations to him. But, like, there's really only two position battles, in my estimation, left tackle and mm-hmm. who's going to be the starting cornerback opposite of Trent McDuffie.
Feels right? Like that's Joshua Williams, doesn't it?
Yeah, right now it's Joshua Williams. We'll see how much, like, Najee Johnson can push. And it's clear that they're not trying to give him too much coming off the ACL injury from this time last year. But those are really the only two battles.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the only two battles part, I made this point over the course of camp. We know who the Chiefs are at this point. There's not many position battles. There's not many question marks. They're the best team in the National Football League. They're one of the five most talented teams in the National Football League. There's not much intrigue at this point about the Kansas City Chiefs. There are two. How do you replace an all-pro caliber corner in Legarius Sneed? And what's the plan at left tackle? I think, Rob, you and I both thought that maybe the wide receiver conversation was going to kind of develop as one of the storylines in camp. I don't really feel like it has. I saw some of the reps earlier today from Luis Riz-Zamet. It looked like someone who just started playing football recently. I don't think he's making the 53-man roster. Now that we've had a week of training camp and we still got, what, a month to go between now and the start of the season, 5 weeks between now and the start of the season, I would say that there are only really two storylines. You and I even thought that some of the contracts would kind of develop and emerge. Now, maybe they do behind the scenes, but nobody is holding out from camp. Everybody is there. Everybody is healthy for the most part outside of Justin Reed. I mean, camp is going as you would expect for a team the caliber of the Kansas City Chiefs. You handled all your contracts last season, so no cloud over you the way that Dallas does or the way that San Francisco does or Green Bay or some of the other teams in the league. I mean, there are only two questions right now with the Chiefs. It's cornerback and left tackle. Everything else seems like it sort of answered itself.
I mean, I agree. There are very few storylines. I mean, if we searched and dug and really, you know, grinded it out, we could find other storylines. Who's running back three? But who cares? Who's, you know, how serious is Justin Reed's injury? That's something to monitor, but if he comes back to practice in the coming days, it dissipates immediately. No one cares anymore. What's the situation with, you know, players at linebacker? Like, Gay Jr.'s gone. Is that just Leo Chenal's job now? There are very small things, but it's not, you know, tectonic things that you'll see. I've seen clips kind of Bears camp where it's, you know, Keenan Allen and Caleb Williams were gelling early. That's a massive storyline in Chicago for people to monitor. Wide running back three is not at that level, which is a good problem. I do think left tackle, though, might become bigger and bigger as a talking point. It might become from one of the two storylines to the storyline because it's day one grain of salt. We talked about it last segment. If Wanye and Suamataia get cooked every day, it might be time to break glass in case of emergency and call out to Donovan Smith. Give David Bakhtiari's agent a call. Hey, what's going on, buddy? How are you nowadays? You feeling healthy? Because if we get into August and we inch closer toward preseason game one and the reports we're getting out of Missouri Western are left tackle continues to be an Ole blocking position, that might go from a storyline to the storyline.
I would just ask you this question about Donovan Smith because I see someone else on the text line says, see that I'm way more worried about left tackle. How long before they call Donovan Smith? Every single camp is happening right now and he is not on a roster. Every single camp. And he plays one of those premium. We're not talking about a running back right now that's still looking for work. We're talking about a left tackle. Now, Maybe an injury happens between now and then. A team calls in Donovan Smith and he's a break in case of emergency type. But football is starting right now. And the fact that Donovan Smith is not on a roster leads me to believe that he is not the answer to a lot of teams' problems that you are having right now. There's not a lot of teams that are just letting capable left tackles just sit there. You would even bring him in just not to let Kansas City have him in your rotation, and maybe he's not a starter for you, but he's in your top seven or eight where if something goes wrong that you can have him in there. Like a team hasn't even brought him in as a guy who has played in and won Super Bowls and experienced veteran to help bring along the young guys. Donovan Smith is just at home working out at 31 years old when it is football time. He's not holding out. He is just at home working out. So I don't know if I would just say hey, if this thing goes wrong, they can just call Donovan Smith. They have had that option all offseason and have not seemed to pick up the phone or not seem to be very interested in bringing Donovan Smith is. And the fact that he is going to be available heading into August should tell you that other teams thought about it too and also said no. It is not that much to go get Donovan Smith. Last year, he had a one-year, $3 million deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. They guaranteed him $2 million. You can go get Donovan Smith if you want to go get Donovan Smith, and no team has made that move. Last cut I want to play for you guys from our guy Nate Taylor. Here he is talking about Rashee Rice and what the expectations are for the second-year receiver out of SMU.
I think that the real expectation should be 1,100 yards. It's a little bit tricky because how many of those long passes are going to connect with Xavier Worthy.
He should have more room for run after the catch, in my opinion. No, it's
exactly
like, it's kind of both.
And he even here, and I think this is probably the best indicator of his potential in year two is he recognizes zone coverages and the holes and the voids so much faster now than he did a year ago. And because, as Patrick said to us today, he's in better shape. Obviously, you go from training for the draft to, all right, I know exactly what I want to work on after my rookie season. So you're just physically more prepared for, like, football. He's going to have better opportunities for yards after the catch if there are more viable options around him running routes, you know. It's amazing for what he did last year, given the circumstances, because he was not expected to be relied upon so much. Everyone around him was god-awful at certain points of the season.
Yeah.
And Travis Kelce was dealing with a multitude of injuries, so he couldn't necessarily carry the burden the way he had normally done. So everything's really upon you, and they thrusted him into a role that honestly wasn't necessarily fair to him, but he did it in such an admirable way that, yeah, you should be excited for year two.
This is obviously Rashee Rice's fault, so this is not me making any excuses for Rashee. It is disappointing that he has had the offseason that he has had, that I think it has made us forget about how great he was as a rookie. And if he takes the natural jump that you would expect a player of his caliber to take, he can get to that 1,100, 1,200-yard mark. There would be more buzz and hype around Rashee Rice if people were not worried about him being out for the first 4, 6, 8 games of the season, and he had the offseason that he had. Did you guys know that last year there was only one rookie pass catcher in the NFL that had more yards receiving than Rashee Rice, and it was Puka Nacua? He had fewer targets than Jordan Addison, fewer targets than Sam Laporta, fewer targets than Zay Flowers, had more yards than all of those players. He had a better yards per catch last year than Zay Flowers did. Puka Nacua was an all-pro, great wide receiver last year. Rashee Rice was the second-best rookie pass catcher in the National Football League last year. That guy would be one of the more popular players on the team. People would be going out and getting his jersey. People would be excited about him having one of those kind of years. But when you have the offseason that he had, and we've spent more time this offseason talking about whether it was you slapping somebody at the club allegedly or you playing Fast and the Furious on a Texas highway, it has really cut down some of the hype and buzz around Rashee Rice. And I also don't think we've had enough of the conversation of hey, this is the year where somebody like Rashid takes a step forward, and you go from having 938 yards to 1,138 yards. You put together an 1,100-yard season, you have 8-9 touchdowns, and you really cement yourself as one of the better receivers in the National Football League. That would be the conversation that we would be having. His actions have not allowed us to have that conversation. Coming up on the other side, we need four callers, 913-586, 913-586-7610. It is time to play. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight? We are playing a special edition. I think a lot of people are going to the game today. I'll give you my guess. Rob will give his guess. We'll hear yours next. We need four callers, 913-586-7610. That's coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Time to play a game that has captured the imagination of thousands around the Kansas City metropolitan area. It is time to play a game that we like to call, how many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight? Now, I am excited about today's game. Rob, if you can give us the attendance for Wednesday, I believe I know what the promotions are today. It is Patrick Mahomes bobblehead day. How many bobbleheads are they giving away? Is it for the first 10, 15, 20? How many people are going to get a Patrick Mahomes Royals-themed, Royals-flavored bobblehead?
First things first, Carrington, let's give you the attendance from Wednesday's game, the finale between the Royals and the Arizona Diamondbacks. There were 15,931 at the K on Wednesday. For tonight, as you mentioned, it is Patrick Mahomes bobblehead giveaway. The first 15,000 fans are surveyed. Okay. Patrick Mahomes bobblehead that features him doing the behind-the-back pass he did last year in the Big Slick softball game. Plus, Firework Friday at the K tonight, Carrington, if the weather holds up, which it looks like it will.
Okay. Now, if you are listening to the show on the way to the stadium, let me say thank you. Let me also say, number two, if you plan on getting a bobblehead, I would get there early because there are going to be a lot of people at the game today. Patrick Mahomes bobblehead playing one of the more popular teams in Major League Baseball. The Royals are playing well. The weather is good. It's a Friday. I think there's going to be a lot of people out at the stadium today. All right, you guys know the rules. Closest to the number without going over wins a prize. Rob, didn't we have a day this week where no one won? Do we have two pizzas to give away?
We have had a winner every day. Right now, people have a pulse of this city.
Okay, my bad. I thought there was one day everybody hit the over. My apologies. All right, Zach, enough of me, more of you. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
I'm feeling pretty good about tonight, man. Let's go
25-5 out at the stadium today. All right, Zach, I appreciate you. Mike, how many people do you have out at Kauffman Stadium tonight?
I got 29,201.
29,201. All right, Mike, I appreciate you. All right, Jake, a lot of four-letter names today in the game. All right, Jake, how many people do you think are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
Go 2450.
2450. All right. Appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Caleb, we appreciate you as well. You are last to play. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
You know what? I'm going to go a little bit higher because I think people are starting to love it. I'm going to say 32,200.
32,200. That is the biggest guess that we have ever had in this game. All right, Caleb, I appreciate you. Rob, now I have a little bit of an estimate on how many people are going out there today. I don't want to spoil it. I've saved it for this moment. I think you guys are going to be surprised at how many people are out at Kauffman Stadium tonight in a positive sense.
I, too, have a sprinkling,
yeah,
a dash,
we seasoning. We kind of know how many people are going to be out there today, or at least we kind of know what the Royals are expecting in terms of attendance for today. That's maybe a better way of putting it. I know what the Royals think.
Let me say this. Before I give you my guess, I Googled what capacity at Kauffman Stadium is. 37,903 is their capacity. I think they get, if I'm playing Price is Right, and if you go over, you're wrong, I would play 36-5 tonight. I think it is going to be, if not a sellout, as near a sellout as you can get. Cubs are a massive brand. Fireworks Friday. You're going to see Bobby Witt. There's no school yet. And, oh, yeah, Patrick Mahomes bobblehead day. 36.
I think that today is going to be the second best crowd that they have had since opening day. I think they are going to come really, really close to what they got for opening day. I think these first 2 days, they are going to do a tremendous number. I also think on Sunday, they're going to do a really strong number as well. For opening day this year, they got 38-7 out there. I think they do a little bit worse today. I think you're really close, Rob. Put me at 36-2 today out of Kauffman Stadium. Put me at 36-2. I think it's the right combination of everything today. Weather, team playing well, opponent, promotion. I think it is the right combination of everything. I think it is going to feel like opening day out there at the stadium. So put me at 36-2. I think they're a little bit less than opening day, but really, really close. That's where I am for today's game, 36-2. That's where I would put me at. Really quick, Rob, what did you have down for Jake? The text line is saying I heard Jake incorrectly. What did you have for Jake's guess? I want to be sure that we have the correct number for Jake.
I have Jake written down at 24.5. That's what I
have him down too. Yeah, the text line told me. I was like, hold on. You and I heard the exact same way. I'm like, all right, hold on.
Even if he's got the number that the text line has him, he's still the low man. And being the low man, based on what we expect the Tennessee tonight, it's not a great spot to be.
Yeah, they're getting more than 24,000 people out there today. They're getting a lot more than 24,000 people out there today.
We do sometimes do shows where it's like, hey, a Thursday night football game, the Chiefs are playing tonight, or Monday night, and we joke that if you're on the way to the stadium listening to the show, thank you. There are people driving to Kauffman Stadium right now that are probably listening to the show. I have no doubt in my mind.
I think there are people already in line out at Kauffman Stadium. Just to let you know how it is right now, how many tickets do you think there are on StubHub for today's game? Because on a normal night, there'd be a bunch of tickets available. How many tickets right now do you think are on StubHub to go to the game?
Maybe in the hundreds, but it's sparse.
347.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not that many. The get-in price right now on StubHub is $39. So by the time you add the fees on top of the $39, it's $50 to be able to go. And this is 425 row VV. You can see Arrowhead from over there. You can look up and see. It's a $50 get-in to go to the Royals game today. So, yeah, if you were good, it's supply and demand. They're not $50 because nobody is going there today. They are going to get a lot of people to go to the game today. They got $100 lowers right now on StubHub. $100. I think this is going to be the biggest game that they have of the entire year.
And we're excluding if they potentially go to the postseason.
Yeah, no, okay. Of the regular season. I think this is the most people that will attend a game.
That Red Sox series.
They're not getting 36,000 on a Monday.
Oh, it is a weekday. Yeah,
it's a weekday. If it was the weekend, it'd be the same thing. They got the Red Sox on a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Now, that Tuesday, we just saw people go out there for the dollar hot dogs. They'll do really well, but I really think they could sell out today.
I think at some point, and we usually text on the weekends, and I usually send you the numbers like, hey, this came in. I think that me and you were going to talk tonight about a literal sellout at the K.
Text line 913-586-7610. Somebody said the reserve parking is already sold out. Yeah, no. This is one of those games that people tailgate for. You know, back when we were debating about the Royals parking downtown, you guys were like, hey, well, we like to tailgate for the games. I've been to enough Royals games. You guys don't tailgate very often for Royals games. Today is one of those days. Today is one of those. You take a half day. You go out there a little early. You tailgate a little bit. There's a little bit of a buzz and atmosphere. It's going to be a lot of fun today out at Kauffman Stadium. I am very excited to be going to the game today. I am leaving here, and I'm going to Kauffman Stadium. Not even in the press box, Rob. I got tickets. I'm going to the game.
You're man of the people tonight. You're going to go out and get
You know, I don't like going to the Royals games on a press pass.
No.
Now, Chiefs are a little bit different. I don't mind that because, you know, I want to go later in the year.
Because it's warm.
Yeah, it's a little different. But for a Royals game, I haven't been to the Royals press box in a decade. I don't need to go up there. I'll go to the game, sure. I love going to a baseball game. But to sit up there, I can't. No, I'm okay.
So are you going to go taste the taste of Kansas City taco and report back on Monday?
Rob, you know my spending habits. What about me would make you think that I'm about
expensive.
To go eat a 20?
That's an Odyssey purchase if I've ever seen one. That's show content, baby.
You work here, don't you? I don't know. You work here. We got to pay for fast food Fridays. What are you talking about? You think they paying for the $25 taco? No, not at all. Somebody said, if you sit in row VV, you can probably see the new stadium in Kansas. Probably. Yeah, row VV. Yo, spending $50 to sit up in row VV for a regular season Royals game, you better come away with a bobblehead. They better. If you're sitting down in like 101 row A, you don't really need the bobblehead. I mean, you know, you got a great seat to a game. You're fine. If you go up that spiral and then go up the spiral some more and then you walk up those steep stairs, and they owe you a bobblehead. I hope that you get one today if you're sitting in these seats up in 425. Rob, I'm looking at lowers right now. Section 114, row B, $250. I'm just looking at it. This StubHub thing, it blows my mind. Section 140, row B, it just sold an hour ago on StubHub. Rob, they went for $140 each. Somebody paid $300 to go to a Royals baseball game today. Look at the times that we are living in. Coming up, we got Vern. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio, home of the hallowed title, Friend of the Show.
I'm very happy to be a friend of the show. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
Let's go to the phone lines right now. Really excited to be joined by our next guest, Josh Vern. You joins us on the show today. Vern, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, man. Excited for a busy weekend out here at the K.
Vern, if you could add one sport to the Olympics, what would you add? I gave my suggestions yesterday. I would like for them to add dodgeball. I also would like for them to add paintball to the Olympics as well. This year is the first year that they have added breakdancing to the Olympics. So really? They are just going to have someone out there. They do not know what song they're going to play. The DJ drops a beat and they just start dancing and they get judged.
What do they dance on?
I don't know. That is a great question.
Are they breaking down a cardboard box and letting them go to work?
I have never seen this before. I am looking forward to seeing what breakdancing looks like in the Olympics. I don't have too much more information than what I've given to you.
What I want to see is the Major League Baseball players play in the Olympics. I know that will never happen, but I think that would be very neat. Taking the World Baseball Classic and not having it at the beginning of spring training when guys are still getting loose. You know, when I want to see Shohei Ohtani on the mound squaring off with Mike Trout as Japan takes on the United States, I don't want Mike Trout just getting into the groove of baseball like he was last year in the World Baseball Classic. I want him feeling good. I want Shohei feeling good. I want them at their peak. That would be my dream.
What is the reasoning or rationale for baseball not to do it? I mean, it would only be once every 4 years, and you could just wrap it around the All-Star break. What's the reasoning for Major League Baseball not taking a two-week break once every 4 years that could do something that could really grow the game? And you and I both love basketball. Now, obviously, it happens in the offseason, but we have seen what putting pros in the Olympics can mean for your sport.
Yeah, I'm guessing, I don't have Rob Manfred's answer, but I'm guessing they don't want to punt on, you know, these 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't know how long the Olympics lasts, but I'm guessing they don't want to punt on this prime summer stretch of home games. You know, look, you guys were just talking about the big crowds expected this weekend, and, you know, if you're playing in the Olympics, that's not happening.
Right.
Can you make it up later on in the season? I don't think so, because that's when the NFL shows up and just dominates.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Josh Vernier, here. He is live at Kauffman Stadium. Vern, you are there. What's the crowds looking like right now? Are people lined up already?
Yeah, I got here a little after 2 o'clock, and they were already starting to show up and get their position in line to grab that Patrick Mahomes bobblehead. Yeah, just looking back throughout the years, this will likely be the biggest crowd outside of an opening day or outside of a Cardinals game at Kauffman Stadium. The biggest game since September of 2017 as far as attendance. Biggest game that Brady Singer, as far as a crowd, biggest crowd that Brady Singer's ever pitched in front of at Kauffman Stadium. This is his fifth year in the big leagues. Only 13 men have ever made more starts at Kauffman Stadium than Brady Singer, and tonight he'll pitch in front of 35,000 for the first time.
So that's what you're hearing? You're hearing around 35,000 out at the K tonight?
I'm actually hearing around 37. They might push opening day. We're steamrolling towards a sellout, I would expect.
I'm just so excited. You know me, Vern. There aren't many Royals games that I just absolutely circle, and I'm just like, man, I got to go to the stadium. Just as you've seen this season come together, I think we've all known for about a month and a half, hey, that Friday when the Cubs are in town, if the weather holds up with Patrick Mahomes bobblehead, there are going to be a lot of people at the game. I'm happy that everything is lined up to make tonight really, really fun.
And then tomorrow, I'm hearing more than 32,000 for Iowa night, as, you know, Cubs are everywhere. Cubs fans are throughout the Midwest. Kauffman Stadium's a destination ballpark for a lot of people. They want to check it out. So, yeah, this weekend's going to check a few boxes for a lot of Cubs fans. And then, 2 weeks from now, the Mizzou night and the Cardinals are in town. I would expect, you know, 37,000-38,000 for that as well. And yeah, man, it's a great time right now to be in Kansas City and be a sports fan, no doubt.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Josh Vernier, going through some of the top storylines. All right, Vern, a couple of nights ago, I think there's maybe two sort of conversations to have. Let's have the first conversation. And I know sports fans hate to admit this, but the umpires played a major part in why the Royals lost that game. Sure, you're a pro. You got to overcome it. That is a strike. That is a throw them out scenario. The Royals should have won a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, the ball four was strike three, strike him out, throw him out. I'm not going to argue that. But if you go back earlier in that at-bat with Perdomo, it's 2-1 count, and the fourth pitch that MacArthur threw to Perdomo, to me, was out of the zone, and it was called a strike. So, yeah, maybe it was a makeup call, to be quite honest with you. But the home plate umpire missed two calls in that at-bat. One benefited and one obviously hurt the Royals. So, listen, that game, that was Wednesday night. Yeah, Royals didn't play well. Michael Wacha was subpar. Salvador Perez left seven men on base, hitting into two inning-ending double plays. You know, you talk about James MacArthur. The only reason the Royals were in that game is because the Diamondbacks were unable to turn what should have been a third inning-ending double play in the fourth inning. So Royals didn't deserve to win that game on Wednesday, and thankfully for some fans, we have an easy person to blame, and it's the umpire instead of the countless guys that let the squad down or were unable to pick up Michael Wacha. He deserves someone stepping up, and well, no one really outside of Vinny and Bobby were able to do that.
Well, I mean, they're not just blaming the umpire. They're also blaming James MacArthur for that.
Sure.
I mean, if you look at the last 17 appearances that he's had, I mean, he's given up zero earned runs in 14 of those. I'm not here to tell you that he's some lockdown closer. He's certainly not that. But I do think that he has been a little bit better over the course of the last 2 months than fans want to admit.
Especially when you acknowledge that this is his first full big league season. Now, this was a guy that, for as confident or as excited as the organization and coaching staff were to see him this season, they didn't give him the closer's role out of spring training. That was Will Smith's job, and Smith fumbled that job, and MacArthur picked it up and has held it ever since. Yeah, I mean, just last night I'm watching Craig Kimbrell, a future Hall of Famer, gag up a big lead for the Orioles. You look around Major League Baseball, man, there's maybe five closers that their fan base feels confident in every time that bullpen door opens. You know, that's one out of every six teams in Major League Baseball. So, I mean, you even see Baltimore today made a move to improve their bullpen, making a trade with the Philadelphia Phillies. The Mariners make a move to improve their bullpen. The Yankees, I watch a lot of baseball stuff, television videos and whatnot, and every fan base, when they talk about the trade deadline, it's, yeah, we could use an outfield bat and a reliever. Everyone could use an upgrade in the bullpen, and a lot of that goes back to what the Royals did in 13, 14, 15, and 16, and everyone has now followed suit, and you're trying to shorten the game. It's going to be difficult, you know, to win a World Series with this bullpen as currently constructed, but we're a long way away. All right, 50-some-odd games to go. We'll see what Chris Bubich can do down the stretch. Maybe Daniel Lynch can help out down the stretch. Maybe Alec Marsh can move to a bullpen role at some point this season. So, yeah, I understand the disappointment in a five-run, ninth-inning blown save for James MacArthur, but when you look at it, grand scheme of things, stuff-wise and performance-wise, sure, he's not one of the elite, but like I mentioned, there's only five elite closers, and the rest are kind of in that second tier, and I'd put MacArthur there.
There's a couple of stats that I want to give you and just hear your opinion on. The Royals are 3-10 in rubber matches. They are also 47-46 against teams that are not the Chicago White Sox. When you hear those stats, what do they mean to you?
Give me that second one again.
They are the Royals this season. They are 47-46 against teams not named the Chicago White Sox.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that one tells me that, you know, something that you've harped on a lot. You know, there's a clear distinction between the World Series or bust teams, the squads that are already making their October plans, the Clevelands, Baltimore's, New York's, Dodgers, maybe even Milwaukee's in that group, Philadelphia. Yeah, the Royals are not in that class. They're in the group of what, half a dozen, a dozen teams in Major League Baseball right now that, you know, if these two pitchers are hot in October, yeah, they could run off a nice little run and find themselves in the ALCS, but they could also have one big injury here in the final 2 months and completely kill their postseason chances. As far as the 3-10 record in rubber games, yeah, we talked a lot about that on the postgame show back on Wednesday. And, you know, they started off April 0-4 in those rubber games. And, personally, they're a lot different team than they were back in April. Those series against the Orioles, right, lost both of those rubber games. Man, I feel like if they got another crack at Baltimore, it would be not saying that the Royals would take the series, but to say, oh, well, you drop those two three-game sets to the Orioles, that means something moving forward. I can't really do that. Now, you look at the last three, Rays, Red Sox, Diamondbacks. Each one of those series, I thought they had an opportunity to make a statement, not so much to the fans, but to themselves. You know, that we're closer to being out of that second tier we just talked about, that we're closer to the Clevelands and the Baltimores and the New Yorks than the rest of these teams that we're rubbing elbows with here on the second tier. The fact that they've been unable to close out those series deciding games tells me that they're sadly right where they belong. A good team, but certainly not a great team.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Vern, I've told you that I kind of break the season down into different parts. The Royals have 10 games until they play the Red Sox at home. I mean, they've had a good home stand so far. I mean, they have won 4 out of their 6 games at home. I want them to win this series against the Cubs, and then you go on the road to play the White Sox, and then you got 4 against Detroit. What I'm really hoping is, hey, this team can win 6 of their next 10. They can win 7 of their next 10. I really want that Boston series to mean a whole lot whenever Boston comes to town.
Yeah, and the news today, Riley Green, the best hitter in that Tigers lineup, is going on the IL, so he'll miss those 4 games. They're already without Reese Olson, who I think is their second-best starter there with the Tigers. You know, we'll see if Tarek Skubal's still on the team when the Royals go into Motown. So when I look at that 10-game stretch, I want 7, right? You got to take 2 or 3 from the Cubs. You have to take at least 2 in Chicago from the White Sox. And then I want you to win the series in Detroit. That's likely a ball club that has just received a message from its front office that we are not in it this year. We have sold a Jack Flaherty. We've sold a Mark Canna. I want 3 of 4 in Detroit. So, you know, really, however they do it, give me a 7-3 run and I'll be happy.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Josh Vernier, here for a couple of more minutes. Vern, this is the last time that you and I are going to talk prior to the deadline. If the Royals make a move, we'll certainly have you on later this week to talk about it. Are you leaning more towards them getting a bullpen arm? Are they going to get a bat? Or do you think the Royals stand pat and stay where they are?
I think they can get both. And I don't think either one is going to... Well, yeah, it'll probably still lead the hits, but it's not going to be something that's eliciting a lot of emotion from either you or Rob. It's going to be like, all right, let's pull up this guy's baseball reference page, and all right, yeah, he's a big leaguer. I don't think they're going to bring in the type of bat that you throw in the middle of the lineup. To me, they bring in a bat that improves the bench, maybe a little bit more right-handed pop over Nick Lofton. You can improve the bullpen, maybe when I look at the bullpen, I don't know who's losing their role. Will Smith's not going anywhere. He's, at least I don't believe so. This guy's too much of a leader inside that clubhouse, means too much to too many guys. Chris Stratton, you got to pay him about $5 million to go away. So maybe Sam Long would be the odd man out, at least during the regular season. We're talking about improving the 12th and 13th spots on the bench, the final few spots in the bullpen. But no, I don't think that someone's going to come here and make a bigger impact than, you know, the top half of the roster. The guy that you bring in, I don't think will be one of the 20 best players on the team.
I've heard some rumblings about Jazz Chisholm. It sounds like that's died down a little bit. If you had, I guess, one name, like let's say they only make one of those moves. Let's say that J.J. Piccolo goes to Scherzer. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Really excited to be joined by our next guest. Josh Vernier joins us on the show today. Vern, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, man. Excited for a busy weekend out here at the K.
Vern, if you could add one sport to the Olympics, what would you add? I gave my suggestions yesterday. I would like for them to add dodgeball. I also would like for them to add paintball to the Olympics as well. This year is the first year that they have added breakdancing to the Olympics. So really? They are just going to have someone out there. They do not know what song they're going to play. The DJ drops a beat and they just start dancing and they get judged.
What do they dance on?
I don't know. That is a great question.
Are they breaking down a cardboard box and letting them go to work?
I have never seen this before. I am looking forward to seeing what breakdancing looks like in the Olympics. I don't have too much more information than what I've given to you.
What I want to see is the Major League Baseball players play in the Olympics. I know that will never happen, but I think that would be very neat. Taking the World Baseball Classic and not having it at the beginning of spring training when guys are still getting loose. You know, when I want to see Shohei Ohtani on the mound squaring off with Mike Trout as Japan takes on the United States, I don't want Mike Trout just getting into the groove of baseball like he was last year in the World Baseball Classic. I want him feeling good. I want Shohei feeling good. I want them at their peak. That would be my dream.
What is the reasoning or rationale for baseball not to do it? I mean, it would only be once every 4 years, and you could just wrap it around the All-Star break. What's the reasoning for Major League Baseball not taking a two-week break once every 4 years that could do something that could really grow the game? And you and I both love basketball. Now, obviously, it happens in the offseason, but we have seen what putting pros in the Olympics can mean for your sport.
Yeah, I'm guessing, I don't have Rob Manfred's answer, but I'm guessing they don't want to punt on, you know, these 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't know how long the Olympics lasts, but I'm guessing they don't want to punt on this prime summer stretch of home games. You know, look, you guys were just talking about the big crowds expected this weekend, and, you know, if you're playing in the Olympics, that's not happening.
Right.
Can you make it up later on in the season? I don't think so, because that's when the NFL shows up and just dominates.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Josh Vernier, here. He is live at Kauffman Stadium. Vern, you are there. What's the crowds looking like right now? Are people lined up already?
Yeah, I got here a little after 2 o'clock, and they were already starting to show up and get their position in line to grab that Patrick Mahomes bobblehead. Yeah, just looking back throughout the years, this will likely be the biggest crowd outside of an opening day or outside of a Cardinals game at Kauffman Stadium. The biggest game since September of 2017 as far as attendance. Biggest game that Brady Singer, as far as a crowd, biggest crowd that Brady Singer's ever pitched in front of at Kauffman Stadium. This is his fifth year in the big leagues. Only 13 men have ever made more starts at Kauffman Stadium than Brady Singer, and tonight he'll pitch in front of 35,000 for the first time.
So that's what you're hearing? You're hearing around 35,000 out at the K tonight?
I'm actually hearing around 37. They might push opening day. We're steamrolling towards a sellout, I would expect.
I'm just so excited. You know me, Vern. There are many Royals games that I just absolutely circle, and I'm just like, man, I got to go to the stadium. Just as you've seen this season come together, I think we've all known for about a month and a half, hey, that Friday when the Cubs are in town, if the weather holds up with Patrick Mahomes bobblehead, there are going to be a lot of people at the game. I'm happy that everything is lined up to make tonight really, really fun.
And then tomorrow, I'm hearing more than 32,000 for Iowa night as, you know, Cubs are everywhere. Cubs fans are throughout the Midwest. Kauffman Stadium's a destination ballpark for a lot of people. They want to check it out. So, yeah, this weekend's going to check a few boxes for a lot of Cubs fans. And then, 2 weeks from now, the Mizzou night and the Cardinals are in town. I would expect, you know, 37,000-38,000 for that as well. And yeah, man, it's a great time right now to be in Kansas City and be a sports fan, no doubt.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Josh Vernier, going through some of the top storylines. All right, Vern, a couple of nights ago, I think there's maybe two sort of conversations to have. Let's have the first conversation. And I know sports fans hate to admit this, but the umpires played a major part in why the Royals lost that game. Sure, you're a pro. You got to overcome it. That is a strike. That is a throw-em-out scenario. The Royals should have won a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, possibly. The ball four was strike three, strike them out, throw them out. I'm not going to argue that. But if you go back earlier in that at-bat with Perdomo, it's 2-1 counts and The fourth pitch that MacArthur threw to Perdomo, to me, was out of the zone, and it was called a strike. So, yeah, maybe it was a makeup call, to be quite honest with you. But the home plate umpire missed two calls in that at-bat. One benefited, and one obviously hurt the Royals. So, listen, that game, that was Wednesday night. Yeah, Royals didn't play well. Michael Wacha was subpar. Salvador Perez left seven men on base, hitting into two inning-ending double plays. You know, you talk about James MacArthur. The only reason the Royals were in that game is because the Diamondbacks were unable to turn what should have been a third inning-ending double play in the fourth inning. So Royals didn't deserve to win that game on Wednesday, and thankfully for some fans, we have an easy person to blame, and it's the umpire instead of the countless guys that let the squad down or were unable to pick up Michael Wacha. He deserves someone stepping up, and well, no one really outside of Vinny and Bobby were able to do that.
Well, I mean, they're not just blaming the umpire. They're also blaming James MacArthur for that.
Sure.
I mean, if you look at the last 17 appearances that he's had, I mean, he's given up zero earned runs in 14 of those. I'm not here to tell you that he's some lockdown closer. He's certainly not that. But I do think that he has been a little bit better over the course of the last 2 months than fans want to admit.
Especially when you acknowledge that this is his first full big league season. Now, this was a guy that, for as confident or as excited as the organization and coaching staff were to see him this season, they didn't give him the closer's role out of spring training. That was Will Smith's job, and Smith fumbled that job, and MacArthur picked it up and has held it ever since. Yeah, I mean, just last night I'm watching Craig Kimbrell, a future Hall of Famer, gag up a big lead for the Orioles. You look around Major League Baseball, man, there's maybe five closers that their fan base feels confident in every time that bullpen door opens. You know, that's one out of every six teams in Major League Baseball. So, I mean, you even see Baltimore today made a move to improve their bullpen, making a trade with the Philadelphia Phillies. The Mariners make a move to improve their bullpen. The Yankees. I watch a lot of baseball stuff, television videos and whatnot, and every fan base, when they talk about the trade deadline, it's, yeah, we could use an outfield bat and a reliever. Everyone could use an upgrade in the bullpen, and a lot of that goes back to what the Royals did in 13, 14, 15, and 16. And everyone has now followed suit, and you're trying to shorten the game. It's going to be difficult, you know, to win a World Series with this bullpen as currently constructed, but we're a long way away. All right, 50-some-odd games to go. We'll see what Chris Bubich can do down the stretch. Maybe Daniel Lynch can help out down the stretch. Maybe Alec Marsh can move to a bullpen role at some point this season. So, yeah, I understand the disappointment in a five-run, ninth-inning blown save for James MacArthur, but when you look at it, grand scheme of things, stuff-wise and performance-wise, sure, he's not one of the elite, but like I mentioned, there's only five elite closers, and the rest are kind of in that second tier, and I'd put MacArthur there.
There's a couple of stats that I want to give you and just hear your opinion on. The Royals are 3-10 in rubber matches. They are also 47-46 against teams that are not the Chicago White Sox. When you hear those stats, what do they mean to you?
Give me that second one again.
They are the Royals this season. They are 47-46 against teams not named the Chicago White Sox.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that one tells me that, you know, something that you've harped on a lot. You know, there's a clear distinction between the World Series or bust teams, the squads that are already making their October plans, the Clevelands, Baltimores, New Yorks, Dodgers, maybe even Milwaukee's in that group, Philadelphia. Yeah, the Royals are not in that class. They're in the group of a dozen teams in Major League Baseball right now that, you know, if these two pitchers are hot in October, yeah, they could run off a nice little run and find themselves in the ALCS, but they could also have one big injury here in the final 2 months and completely kill their postseason chances. As far as the 3-10 record in rubber games, yeah, we talked a lot about that on the postgame show back on Wednesday. And, you know, they started off April 0-4 in those rubber games. And, personally, they're a lot different team than they were back in April. Those series against the Orioles, right, lost both of those rubber games. Man, I feel like if they got another crack at Baltimore, it would be not saying that the Royals would take the series, but to say, oh, well, you drop those two three-game sets to the Orioles. That means something moving forward. I can't really do that. Now, you look at the last three, Rays, Red Sox, Diamondbacks. Each one of those series, I thought they had an opportunity to make a statement, not so much to the fans, but to themselves. You know, that we're closer to being out of that second tier we just talked about. That we're closer to the Clevelands and the Baltimores and the New Yorks than the rest of these teams that we're rubbing elbows with here on the second tier. The fact that they've been unable to close out those series deciding games tells me that they're sadly right where they belong. A good team, but certainly not a great team.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Vern, I've told you that I kind of break the season down into different parts. The Royals have 10 games until they play the Red Sox at home. I mean, they've had a good home stand so far. I mean, they have won 4 out of their 6 games at home. I want them to win this series against the Cubs, and then you go on the road to play the White Sox, and then you got 4 against Detroit. What I'm really hoping is, hey, this team can win 6 of their next 10. They can win 7 of their next 10. I really want that Boston series to mean a whole lot whenever Boston comes to town.
Yeah, and the news today, Riley Green, the best hitter in that Tigers lineup, is going on the IL, so he'll miss those 4 games. They're already without Reese Olson, who I think is their second-best starter there with the Tigers. You know, we'll see if Tarek Skubal's still on the team when the Royals go into Motown. So when I look at that 10-game stretch, I want 7, right? You got to take 2 or 3 from the Cubs. You have to take at least 2 in Chicago from the White Sox. And then I want you to win the series in Detroit. That's likely a ball club that has just received a message from its front office that we are not in it this year. We have sold a Jack Flaherty. We've sold a Mark Canna. I want 3 of 4 in Detroit. So, you know, really, however they do it, give me a 7-3 run and I'll be happy.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Josh Vernier, here for a couple of more minutes. Vern, this is the last time that you and I are going to talk prior to the deadline. If the Royals make a move, we'll certainly have you on later this week to talk about it. Are you leaning more towards them getting a bullpen arm? Are they going to get a bat? Or do you think the Royals stand pat and stay where they are?
I think they can get both. And I don't think either one is going to... Well, yeah, it'll probably still lead the hits, but it's not going to be something that's eliciting a lot of emotion from either you or Rob. It's going to be like, all right, let's pull up this guy's baseball reference page, and all right, yeah, he's a big leaguer. I don't think they're going to bring in the type of bat that you throw in the middle of the lineup. To me, they bring in a bat that improves the bench, maybe a little bit more right-handed pop over Nick Lofton. You can improve the bullpen, maybe when I look at the bullpen, I don't know who's losing their role. Will Smith's not going anywhere. He's, at least I don't believe so. This guy's too much of a leader inside that clubhouse, means too much to too many guys. Chris Stratton, you got to pay him about $5 million to go away. So maybe Sam Long would be the odd man out, at least during the regular season. We're talking about improving the 12th and 13th spots on the bench, the final few spots in the bullpen. But no, I don't think that someone's going to come here and make a bigger impact than, you know, the top half of the roster. The guy that you bring in, I don't think will be one of the 20 best players on the team.
I've heard some rumblings about Jazz Chisholm. It sounds like that's died down a little bit. If you had, I guess, one name, like let's say they only make one of those moves. Let's say that J.J. Piccolo goes to Sherman. He says, hey, I can't afford both. I can only afford one. I can either get you a bat or an arm, but I will get you something. What arm do you want them to do? Who do you think that could possibly be?
I would say an arm. I was listening to your interview yesterday with Jim Bowden, and he threw out a bunch of relievers' names. A lot of them I don't even know. A lot of them most people listening have never heard of. I would say a reliever. Bring in a reliever and make him a good one. You know, I can give you all the names that I want, but those relievers have been bad too, right? There isn't a, oh, you brought him in? Oh, well, he's great, and he'll be great for us. That's just not how that position works. That's not how, I mean, we could talk, throw whatever name you want out there. I know Estevez out of the Angels is the big name that a lot of Royals fans are enamored with. Okay, yeah, he's good, but he's also been bad. And if he comes here and he stinks, you know, Hunter Harvey isn't building the biggest of fan bases right now in Kansas City. His first two appearances for the newly acquired right-hander have been somewhat bumpy. That better get rectified or else the fans are going to turn on him the same way they did Johnny Cueto in 2015. So it's all perspective. Are you producing? Hopefully the answer is yes. I want JD to bring in a reliever that's going to produce.
Last thing here, Vern. Wolverine and Deadpool, or Deadpool and Wolverine, however the movie is, it is going to be the highest grossing first week for a rated R movie. Wow. What was your rated R movie as a kid? Because we all had one. We all had that movie that we weren't supposed to watch. We watched a little bit too early than we probably should, that we still love to this day. I mean, that movie for me was American Pie. Went over to my friend's house, and his folks had the DVD copy of it. We waited until everybody went to bed. I saw the movie, changed my life. What was that Heck movie yeah. for you?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about nudity, Porky's was that movie. I didn't have cable growing up, so like occasionally the Canadian station would show something a little risque, and they had Porky's on one night, so that was pretty cool. Rated R movie, though, as far as cursing, Eddie Murphy Delirious, Eddie Murphy Raw. I remember renting those when I was very young because I loved Beverly Hills Cop and loved everything that Eddie Murphy did, and watched it by myself thinking there's no way my mom and dad would be cool with me hearing this type of language, but I'm better for it. I'll tell you that right now.
That is our guy, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. Vern, I'm excited for a great day at Kauffman Stadium. I know you are as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. Rob, have you already seen Deadpool and Wolverine? Am I saying it right? Is it Wolverine and Deadpool?
It's Deadpool and Wolverine.
Okay. All right. I just want to be sure here. I was not purposely saying inaccurate. If I did, I know you Marvel people are real serious about this. I mean no disrespect here. I come in peace. You have not seen it yet.
I have not been able to get out there yet. The hope is before I go on vacation, I'm able to see it.
You're not even going to go this weekend?
Got plans this weekend, buddy. Can't
oh,
be able to get out there
my
to get it.
Goodness. You might be fake Marvel now. You might be fake Marvel now. They started doing screenings yesterday. You didn't find no time Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can't find one time over the course of the next 4 days to carve out 2 hours. You wouldn't have done this in peak Marvel days. You think Avengers Endgame would have came out and you'd be like, I mean, maybe I'll go see it before I leave. You would have been in there the first. You'd have been the first person in there. Marvel's lost its luster with you. You can admit that.
I mean, it's definitely, they've been pumping out some mid recently, so
people,
I'm not rushing to the
like
theater.
People like this one.
People like this one, so I'm excited to see it. I wonder how much of the like is nostalgia and cameo as opposed to the actual film, but I will make sure to see it in theaters. You know what? I'm not going to go to a screener. I'm going to spend real American currency to see this movie.
Yeah, I think I'll just wait till this comes out and stream it.
Aren't you a big X-Men person? This should be you.
This isn't X-Men. This is Wolverine.
This is their introduction into X-Men.
Yeah, I'll wait till we have I'll wait till we get the actual X-Men movie, and then I will be in there. I will be very excited to see the X-Men movie. I just think I know what this is going to be, and that's great if you're really into this. I'll just wait till this comes out. It'll be on HBO Max in 5 weeks, or it'll be on one of those. I'll just watch it then. I do want to see this movie. I don't know if I want to see it that much out at the theater, though. I'm not that into it. I already saw the movie I wanted to see this month, Twisters. Two thumbs up. You didn't like Twisters the way I liked Twisters a little more than you did.
Twisters was fun. I enjoyed it. I mean, I gave it a thumbs up. I just think it's like a 3.5, 4 out of 5. You're not going to walk out and be like upset, but
no,
I don't think you're not going to walk out and be like, that was like Top Gun. Can you believe I saw that? No.
Yeah, no. I left that when I saw A Quiet Place. I loved this Quiet Place prequel. I don't know if you guys have seen it. I was a big fan. I loved that movie. I thought it was really, that's the most fun I had at the movie since I saw Top Gun Maverick. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll get to the top stories of the day. If you missed it, we had Cole Reagans on the show. We will play that for you at 5:30. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.